welcome to Big Blend Radio's Food, Wine, and Travel Show, where we go across country and travel the world with members of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. Let's go. Welcome, everyone, here on Big Blend Radio's International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association show. We call them IFTWA. We are going to talk about Western National Park travel with Susan Lanier-Graham. She loves to travel in her RV. So we're going to talk RV travel, which is something we rarely actually have done on these shows. I think maybe a couple times. So this is going to be a very cool topic. And as you know, we love to travel to national parks. Nancy and I and our Love Your Parks tour. So welcome, Susan. How are you?
I am good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's good to have you. I was on your site today. Again, everyone, wonderwithwonder.com. You can't, you know, help but love that title. And this is really an award-winning digital food, wine, and travel publication. So Susan does belong here. Tell us a little bit about getting started with that before we get into the RV travel of things, because food, wine, and travel, people may not think you can do that on a RV, but you're certified in wine. You can do it.
I am. So yeah, I have been writing about food, wine, and travel since I was in college 30 years ago. So long time now. And then in, you know, really freelance, very traditional sense, wrote for magazines, newspapers. And then in 2008 recession, I was travel editor for three different publications that all folded within 3 months of each other. And I decided, all right, now's the time. I need a website. I need to do something for me. So I started Wander with Wonder, and it was really intended to be more of a portfolio of my work. And I started writing just first person narratives about my travels, and people started asking for more and more. So we just sort of transitioned into a full digital publication. Have about 25 writers who contribute regularly to Wander. And yeah, it's a passion.
Yeah, it is, because it's a lot of work. People don't see that on the travel writer side, that there's many late nights, and you know, there's no such thing as, oh, wait, but you know, don't send that email until between the 9 and 5 thing. That doesn't exist. It's if you get things at 2 in the morning, it's probably from travel writers.
Right.
Or writers or musicians and chefs.
Exactly.
Anybody in this industry, you know? So that's really cool. And at the same time, not only do you write and have your own publication, I know you're an editor for another public magazine up in Phoenix area, but also 75 books. You're an author of, wait,
yeah.
You're making me feel old. I'm not there yet.
I guess my other hat is I am a content writer. So I do marketing writing and a lot of technical writing. And I have had at least 75 books published, everything from the environment to training manuals for software. So,
oh my gosh. Well, then, you know, no matter what, especially when you get into the training manuals and stuff, you still have to deliver it in a way that people can grasp, right? So that really
Absolutely.
Means you have to pull out all the tools, I think, when you're doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, wow. So now let's talk about RVs. Now, that's something that everyone, you know, Nancy and I are on the road full time. Everyone expects us to be an RV, and I go, heck no, you don't want to see me driving one of those, because we go down really stupid roads all the time. But I do think there's times when we go, gosh, maybe we should get one of those vans, you know, do the van life travel, maybe, you know. So we kind of keep looking at like more like a smaller version, or having like a camper shell in the back of like a four-wheel drive truck, because again, we see a road and we're like, let's do it. And we don't want to talk about the underbelly of our car. So she's been around the block. But getting started in this, before we talk about getting to the West and everything, what are some tips of people getting started? And tell us a little bit about your journey into RVing.
So I think one of the One of the biggest tips that I can offer people is definitely try it out. There are some great places to rent everything from a van to an RV and really see how it feels. For us, back in 2001, our son graduated from high school and we sold our house here in Arizona, put everything in storage, and we bought a small fifth wheel. And it was used. We had to revamp it. It was old. We bought a used truck and we thought this is a good way to try it out. And it lasted for about 2 years. And I think that that time to just experiment, you can rent multiple weekends, go out for, a week at a time, see how it feels. I just heard a story a couple weeks ago about a guy, he and his wife retired, bought a big fifth wheel, went all in, big diesel pickup. It lasted 6 months and they hated it.
Oh,
Just
I've heard
didn't
about
like it.
those stories. Yeah. In fact, we bought our house when we lived out in Joshua Tree area from a couple who did that. And with 6 months, his wife was like, you can, no.
Exactly. So by us trying it earlier, we knew things that we wanted and didn't want. For example, for me, well, one of our big reasons to stop it back in 2003 was the technology. My husband was creating custom software for clients, and of course, I was writing, and we had to get creative because there wasn't the technology. There weren't smartphones, let alone Starlink satellite service and mobile hotspots and being able to submit from your phone. We had to get really creative. And I wanted to be able to go in the other room and close the door sometimes. So coming back into it, we had a pretty good idea of what we wanted and what we didn't want.
Well, what's interesting for those who are watching this versus listening, and everyone listening, I've got a link to the YouTube version of this podcast so you can see Susan is actually in her RV, and you would never know that that's an RV at all.
It's comfortable. It's very comfortable. And that was a big thing for us was finding what fit us. And I say that is something everyone needs to really look at. So we were sitting July 2022. We were sitting in our house in Phoenix. We had always talked about doing this after we retired. But thanks to COVID, my husband was working full-time remotely for it's a large corporation, big Fortune 100 company. And obviously, I can work anywhere. But there we were. July was 118 degrees outside. We were sitting side by side in our office. And I had actually just lost a good friend suddenly to cancer. And I looked at him and I said, Bill, what are we doing? We can do this from anywhere. So we started looking July of 2022, and I had my list. Had to have a separate bedroom, had to have a king size bed, full size washer, or full, I'm sorry, full size refrigerator, full size range, had to have a washer dryer, king size bed, nice shower. So we
Yeah, the
started looking.
shower is an interesting thing. That's a whole other deal.
So I do. I have all of that in this one. We settled on a Jayco 37 foot North Point. And a big Chevy pickup to pull it with. And we bought it in October, and we took a couple of months. We had yard sales, we donated items, we sent things to our kids. And then we moved in full time in December of 2022. So it's been about 13 months.
Yeah, you digging it?
Oh, I'm loving it. I tell everyone it's my quest to find good weather and good wine.
Oh, I'm with you on that. I'm with you. Now, have you got, I mean, 'cause are you self-contained with this, like so that if you wanted to go and boondock and dry camping that you can and have your own electricity and all of that, or do you have to be in an RV park with all the amenities?
No, we can. We have a solar system installed. Bill installed the
Cool.
solar system after we bought it, and we can go for several days. I'll be honest, every 3 or 4 days, I need a good shower. And so, but we have done a couple of days at a time. We love using a service called Harvest Hosts.
Oh, I was going to bring up Harv. They were on our show a few years back, when Joel took it over. He came on the show, and actually, one of our friends, Peggy at LDV Winery, she on our show every month, and she has a place in her vineyard in Arizona. You should go. It's beautiful.
It's down south, and we've stayed at a lot of vineyards. We've stayed at, wineries, breweries, a rice farm in Chico, California,
No way.
a military museums, and you just park and it's easy. We can run our computers and our TV and
How do
everything.
you do all that actually with the internet wise? Is that all through your phone service or the Starlink thing or?
No, we have multiple options so that no matter where we are, we have coverage. We have Starlink, and that is our most reliable source.
And that's a satellite, right?
That's a satellite. We also have a T-Mobile hotspot. We can use it if it's good T-Mobile service, and then we have our phones through AT&T as a backup if we have to tether. So that way we're
Okay.
never without being able to work.
That's the important thing that we've always found. But it's really, I think, actually, especially after COVID, the internet infrastructure has really gotten better across the country. I remember we started our tour in 2012, on and off the road, 2013, 100%. And even in hotels, it was rough. And we were doing live audio broadcasts, and it was like, dude, I've done things. I can't. I've done podcasts in bathrooms. I've done podcasts in places nobody even wants to know about, really, but
Oh,
it was fun. But it's and cell phone service. We still go through a lot of remote areas that it's not there, and then you kind of go, oh, no one can talk to me now. It's pretty okay. But you need a break. All of us need a
exactly.
break. So I kind of look at that as a good thing. But it has improved so much over the last few years. Due to COVID, I think that is one. I'm not saying COVID was great, but there's always a benefit, right?
That was the silver lining. Yes.
Good, 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 good. You're a writer. She's got it. She's got it. So this whole idea. So, like, I love what you're talking about. People renting and checking it out. I think even just as a vacation or getting something, maybe, yeah, rent it, then go get something. Maybe don't buy the whole ball of yarn. And I think like I was telling you, the person we bought the house from, they. The wife was not in the mood to go, and she had to leave everything behind. I mean, it's their furniture. I mean, she was not ready. Like, you cannot force your partner to go. All I'm going to say, it's going to backfire and cost you a lot of money. And so that didn't
Absolutely.
last very long, and
Because you are in very close proximity to that other person.
yeah. So you've got to have that balance. And with a travel writer, you're often doing stuff too. So that gives you a little, breathing room, but, so it is about finding that hotspot, that comfort zone, right? But it is work, and I think people also think that it's 100% way cheaper than living at home, and that's not always 100% the case. You've got to understand your budget carefully too, right?
One of the very first things that we learned, and this was a little bit left over from 20 years ago, although it was not nearly as popular then. Again, thanks to COVID, there are a lot of people on the road. And one of the first things we learned was that you have to plan. It's this, there's sort of the image of the Jack Kerouac taking off on the open road. And sure, there are some people who do that, especially a lot of younger people. They still tend to just go. For us, because we do have to travel around work, we have to make sure we have space for a 37 foot. It's 37 feet, three slide outs. So we have to have space. So you really have to think that through. One of the things we found really beneficial, there are a ton of planning apps out there, but really find a good planning app for RVs if you intend to do this, even short term. If you're taking a couple weeks, I recommend we use TripWizard. Love it because it shows us roads appropriate for RVs. For example, You don't want sharp
Wow.
hairpin turns. You don't want weight restricted bridges. It would be a mess if you got to a bridge that was a 2-ton bridge and
Okay.
you can't. What do you do then?
Yeah, it's
Or low
there's also
overpasses.
those don't you can't come under this tunnel if you're this tall. And I'm like, what if you get there? Now you're going to start reversing. Like if you're in a small little area, I
Yeah,
always laugh
and there
about
are
that.
horror stories of people who don't pay attention and they knock their
Ooh.
top off or scrape the sides. So yeah, you do have to. So that's one thing is if you have a planning app that will help you plan your route. But then it's more than just your route. And this gets back what we were talking about. How do you like to travel? That's what people really need to ask themselves is what is important to you? Do you always want to boondock and be out and, then you have to figure out the details of adding water. You can't drive with your rig full of water. Water is heavy. So you have to figure out, where you get the water, where, how you dump your waste, how long you can go without electricity.
Actually, some rest areas are pretty cool with the RV dumping, right? And even I was getting air recently in Klamath Falls, Oregon, because I found out that we really don't have snow tires. We never put them on. We're not going to. And there was all these ice storms and snow. And the tires on our, we have a RAV4 that we, a Toyota RAV4 that we travel in. Like shrinkage is real. Like if you all watch Seinfeld, I'm just saying. The tires decided it looked like we had four flat tires. And here I am. And the gentleman at the gas station, I think it was a pilot or something, he's like, no, don't go to the meter. Go here. You need to go where the RVs go. So I was in the RV thing. And I was thinking of you because I knew we were going to do this conversation. And I'm like sitting there and nothing is, and I was using my little tire tracker thermometer thingy, and I'm going, Nancy, it's not working. And then I realized, oh no, it is. You are just down to 5 pounds. That is not,
Oh.
oh gee. So eventually I went to a Jiffy Lube, Klamath Falls, Oregon, thank you. They fixed me up within a minute or two. And I'm like, I was there for 30 minutes trying my hardest to blow these tires up and nothing was happening. But they had a dump station, they had everything there. So there are travel centers that do that everywhere, right?
Yes.
So is that what that
Yes.
Trip Wizard goes, that where it'll tell you
It
those kind of
will
spaces?
Exactly. It will show you that type of thing. We can even get prices of parks and gas. It shows all of that.
Oh,
So
that's cool. What about
very.
showers? Here's the other thing. I know a lot of people living in vans that go to truck showers and they're like, go ask a trucker for his truck shower thing. I'm like, I'm not going to go knock on a trucker's door and say, do you have a shower for me? Hello.
No.
This is, yeah, no, we don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no. We have the shower here and most campgrounds, and that's one of the things is what amenities do you need at a campground? Most have showers. I found some campgrounds have beautiful showers.
Yeah, so you don't have to use your own water and all of that.
Exactly. So do you need playgrounds? Do you need swimming pools? Do you need showers, laundry facilities? What type of electricity? Do you need Wi-Fi? So all of that is
Bonus.
great. Yeah. And call the campgrounds. That's my biggest tip is campgrounds love to help you find the right spot. And they're always friendly. We've never met anyone who was, oh, well, tell me what you need. Do you need tree coverage? Do you not want trees? Do you want to back in or pull through? So they love
Oh
talking
wow.
about it.
Well, this is different than when people go on those ODAs, the online travel sites. I'm not going to knock them, but I'm just saying you get disconnected from that kind of help if you go through those. And when you pick up the phone and actually just call the hotel or the campground, they prefer that. I think all of them prefer
Yeah,
that.
and it's nice. I like the ones where I can book online and then call them and talk about it and
Yeah.
see, what's the best spot, what can you offer? And they do. They range from campgrounds that are barely, well, the Harvest Host that have no hookups.
Yeah.
You get a spot to park. There's no water, no electricity, no sewer.
That's it.
There are campgrounds that might have a little bit of electricity. So you can plug in lights and that kind of thing. all the way up to luxury RV resorts. We discovered two campgrounds in Southern California and Arizona. They're owned by CRR Hospitality. So one is Coachella Lakes
Okay.
RV Resort, and it's right outside of Palm Springs, just right off the I-10. And then River Sands RV Resort is in Arenberg on the Colorado
Oh,
Arizona
nice.
border, and it sits right on the Colorado River. You
That's
can walk right to
beautiful.
the river. And they are huge. They have beautiful sites, ample room for these new long rigs, which some older campgrounds could not fit ours. But they had ample spots. Their clubhouse would rival something you would find in any luxury resort. Great Wi-Fi, co-working spaces, pickleball
Wow.
courts, anything you could want. Of course, they do have a hefty price tag, so you have to weigh what it is, and like you mentioned, you have to know what your budget is.
So there's also Hip Camp. Have you tried that? Or is that
Yes,
mostly for smaller rigs?
it depends. We actually stayed in one on the Washington coast, and it was small, but it was very close to the water. It was, you know, you're definitely not finding luxury there.
Rustic would be the word.
Rustic. And it was big enough, but barely. So you do have to, again, call and ask because not all of them are
Yeah.
big.
We were going to do that in as we travel, we pet sit through Trusted House Sitters.
Okay.
And
Yeah.
so that's our way because we have the internet, we can sit down and work and we love animals. And that was the one thing when we left on our tour, our cat had died and we're like, well, then why are we here? You know, there's no cat. So, you know, we can see our friends all the time anyway, you know, and talk to them and everything. And it's not as good because we miss them, but you know, we're travelers. And so that was something we were doing this trip up the Jefferson Highway between Winnipeg and New Orleans. And so we were like, hip camp, hip camp. And then somebody was like, can emergency pet sit came in. And they were like, oh man, I was about like, I had this whole thing because a lot of it, what's cool about it is these are generational farms, and that's kind of their way of, you know, a lot of them are doing education, regenerative farming, they're fixing their land, and it's kind of helping these small farmers and historic farms. And so I was all in it. And then there was an emergency pet sit, and that kind of ruined our plan. So I'm still into it because we can car camp, we can tent camp, we can do some of them have like little rustic cabins and stuff. So I'm into
Yeah.
that. So we're on the edge here. I'm just saying,
That's it.
Susan. See,
That's it.
you're on here so we can pick your brain. But I know a lot of people also coming over to the States, a lot of friends, you know, from Europe come over and they want to do the parks and they want to have that American road trip experience and RV. And one thing we know about traveling to national parks is a lot of times you're on the gateway communities, which is awesome. You can go do that. But with an RV, a lot of times you can actually park right in them or next to them, and you're kind of part of that environment, which I think is an important thing when you're in a park. And you know, you can have a campfire sometimes, you know, and a barbecue depending on the place, right? So tell us a little bit about that for our national park travelers, monuments, national memorials, all of those. Because I know you talked about the West is something that you've done, and that's kind of it's like an iconic way to do it, right? Is in an RV.
Absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, we split our travels up. This it 2023 we did the Western US. This year we're going to be doing the East.
Oh,
And
cool.
one of my big things is we wanted to see as many of the national parks as we could. Unfortunately, didn't see all of the ones I wanted to because there's always, you know,
Yeah, you
there's
ne we can never.
but
Yeah.
one of the things I really want to mention to people is make sure not just the parks. I mean, you have the big ones in the West. You know, you have Yellowstone and Grand Canyon and Teton and Olympic and Glacier, but there are also a lot of national monuments, national memorials,
State parks
national
too, yeah.
shorelines.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so it's those are really, really nice. And sometimes, well, again, planning is huge because those campgrounds inside the national parks, fill up really fast.
And a lot of them, we actually have to get reservations to even go into the park now, depending on the popularity. You need to get a reservation.
Yes, exactly. And that was one thing, a great example. When we were in Glacier, we stayed at Mountain Meadow RV Park, which is the photo that you are have behind you.
Yay.
Mountain Meadow RV Park is right outside the gate to Glacier. And there
Perfect.
are a couple of reasons why we decided to go that route. Well, number one, the parks or the RV campgrounds inside the parks are sometimes very expensive in the summer. So, Mountain Meadow, it's in a little town called Hungry Horse. You are 10 minutes from the entry to Glacier.
Perfect.
Glacier is one of those you have to have. You must have a reservation if you go in the park between 6 a.m. and 4 p.m. So, by camping right there, and it was beautiful, a just gorgeous area. We could go in at 4 p.m. Remember in the summer in Montana, it's light until 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Okay, there you go.
So after 4 p.m., you don't need reservations. So we could
Oh.
go, we're 10 minutes away, go in at 4 in the afternoon. You still have several hours you can hike. And so that was a really big plus for us there. And the
The
other,
all other th I was going to say the other thing for parks is to get a park pass. Like, especially if you're a senior, there's the, I think it's the Golden Pass. I can't remember what it, but there's the pass that will last you for your lifetime. If you're a veteran, you can get a free pass. And that means your whole family can go in one carload, basically. Get a park pass for all parks if you're traveling to the parks,
Right.
and
And
that
that
will save you
saves
money.
us. That saves money. You still have to have a reservation, but yeah, my
Yes.
husband's a veteran, so we have the pass. So we could go in,
Okay,
you
cool.
go spend a couple hours. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't need a reservation. Go and hike. Another really good tip for the national parks. If there are excursions, for example, in Glacier, they have the red bus tours. These are those old red buses that they used to use in the West. Yellowstone, Glacier, Teton, I think those were the big ones that would take passengers on the roads. They have revamped those and modernized them. And so now you can get a red bus tour, which is really, for me, there's a several reasons to do that. Number one, the Going to the Sun Highway that goes across
Oh, yes.
Glacier is very windy, extremely narrow, and nerve-wracking if you drive it. So you
Yep.
book the red bus tour, you get, and they have different ones, 3 hours, 6 hours. We did a 3 hour, took us up the Going to the Sun Road. You can sit back, you can enjoy. You don't have to have reservations. You don't pay additional to get in. So that's a really good tip as
That
to
is
what.
good. And also, if you're not used to driving those kind of roads, that honestly, because I'm not, I hate mountain passes, but I've done some of the worst roads in this country, the scariest, the Million Dollar Highway in Colorado. Dude, do not do that in an RV. Please don't tell me you did that in an RV. I'll wet my pants right now. No, I mean, I really thought I was gonna die. Like, I wanted to stop the car right there because I get like weird. I get vertigo on like mountains, you know, and I get weird, and I'm the driver. And then you know you're messing up everybody else on the road. You know you're not allowed. You have to keep going. So it's good to go, let somebody else drive that knows that road. You can breathe, and you know, it's way
Well, and
better.
that's one of the advantages too for people who might come from Europe or Asia and they
Yeah.
fly in, they rent an RV. Usually it is a self-contained RV that you drive. You can't take that over those mountain passes. You're
Yeah.
not going to want to be taking those on these treacherous roads.
Especially on the other
So,
side of the road from what you're used to.
exactly. So that's another thing is you can drive to the parks. They have parking for RVs and then use the tours inside the parks to actually get around.
Yeah, and going on a tour, that's when you get the information as well, that you really
Oh,
get an
so much
idea
fun.
that, yeah, it's so much better. And then if you want to go explore yourself later, that's a good idea. I wanted to touch on the fact that you have a truck as well. So doesn't that help you get around? Is like you can park your home and then go exploring, so you're not taking the RV everywhere you go. And that if the RV itself needs work, you can still be in your truck. It's kind of a safety kind of, it's a good planning thing in case something goes wrong, because
Yeah.
travel's never perfect.
No, it's never perfect. And actually, we go one step further. I drive. I have a small car that I drive. So I
Oh.
usually go ahead of Bill and scout out areas, make sure what, where we're parking. Again, not a necessity because it's absolutely you can do it without that second vehicle. A lot of times people with RVs will pull a car behind them. With our truck and the trailer, some states allow you to pull another vehicle. That's just too much. It's too
Ooh,
big.
yeah.
It's crazy. So we decided to go ahead and use the car. And then that way we can leave the truck parked. And most of the time we stay about a month in a place, the truck might never get used.
So when you were talking about going west, the weather is a big deal. Because I remember the year before last year, or, yeah, we drove from Washington State to Texas, and we were right by Yellowstone. I'm telling Nancy, hey, let's just beep up over, and there's a snowstorm. I'm like, that's, it's end of May. Oh, we got detoured. It seems to be the story of our life lately, detoured by snow. And that's a real deal. So you want to go really where it's the most optimum. So when you're talking about planning and making your reservations, you may want to even do it even a year in advance in a way, huh?
A year in advance is good. Right now,
Oh, wow.
we have 2024 planned. We will be leaving Arizona the end of March and driving Route 66. We're heading to Maine
Cool.
eventually, and then we'll do the
Cool.
coast down. And we have reservations planned or reservations made through August right now. And then we know where we're going the rest of the year. So as they
Oh,
open
that's
up,
cool.
we do the reservations and they open at different times. So we use a nice Google sheet to keep track of when the reservations open because some places are a year ahead, some are 3 months. So.
And Google does help on for travelers. Just even knowing where you were using GPS and your timeline and stuff. Do you
Oh,
use
yeah.
that as a travel writer? Those kind of tools, just to, because
Absolutely.
it can get blurry,
Yes. Yeah. It's good to keep track of everything. And you do have to be careful, especially at the beginning and the end. For example, last year when we left Arizona, the very first thing we did is we headed to Minnesota and Wisconsin because our son, daughter-in-law, and grandkids live in Minnesota. But we had to be careful because we got there on May 1st and the RV park didn't even open until May 1st. And it
Wow.
was contingent on whether or not they had ice still, snow on the ground. So those are things you do have to be careful about.
We were there at the end of March into April, and yes, they did have ice and snow. And as soon as we got there, they had a snowstorm within an hour. I'm always like, have your groceries as you roll in, because you never know what's going to happen. And it's really true, because I
Yes.
can't tell you how many places we've arrived, and within an hour, you're not getting out for 3 days.
Exactly.
You have to be careful with that. And speaking of that, what people always talk about the temperature in an RV, because if you're traveling, like you're in, I know that you went up to Mount Rushmore, right? In the middle of the summer, that can get pretty hot, even though it's up in the mountains, right? People I've heard, and I've even seen reports like, oh, you leave your RV and then next thing you know, you come back and everything's melted off the walls and it's so hot, and it's like, hot air trapped in a car. So what happens with that? Is that true? And then in the winter, can you freeze to death? Like, I'm just asking those questions because I think
No,
there's those things go through people's
yeah,
minds.
good question. So, anytime that we have any extended time, we're plugged into electric. And so we have heat and air conditioning. So this summer, when it got hot, turn on the air conditioning. And it did get pretty warm this summer up in the Black Hills of South Dakota got a little warm. And
Wow.
so yeah, the air conditioning is on there. Our heat can be either electric or propane. Here in Phoenix, it was 32 degrees last night, so heat was going. We do
Okay.
have warmers in our battery compartment so that the batteries don't get too cold.
Oh, wow. So you kind of
Yeah.
have, there are all these tools, but this is like a, you could geek out on this, you know, and
Oh,
it's
my
like having a
husband
home.
totally does.
Okay. You're just like,
Yes.
make it comfy.
That's
I've got it
it.
right. Yeah. Well, I mean, so the other thing too, you went to, you went to Devil's National Monument, Devil's Tower, right?
Devil's Tower,
Now,
yes.
I've heard from our friend Eva who went up there. She's like, you better really plan. She said it was packed when she was there. And I don't know if it was the eclipse time. I think she went before the eclipse. But she said it was really busy. Like, you need to know. And well, summer in those areas has to be.
Summer is busy. What's funny is we were there 4th of July week, and it was not busy. I
Oh,
think that
wow.
maybe all the news reports scared people off. We were in Yellowstone on 4th of July, and I had a front row seat to watch Old Faithful go off. And Devil's Tower, it's a little bit congested driving in and out.
Okay.
Because it's a very slow entry, and I don't know why. And it backs up, but it was still, I don't know, 15-minute wait, something like
That's not too
that.
bad. You can handle that. Yeah.
No, it wasn't bad. There is a beautiful KOA right outside of Devil's Tower. So you can stay there and then hike in, and you avoid the
Ooh.
crowd. So
Now,
that's an
what are
option.
KOAs like? I mean, because it seems to me that they've pretty much done it. They've taken over quite a big market for RV travel.
Quite a bit. One of the things, they're a little bit more pricey than some. So a mid-range price. There's KOA. Those are very family friendly. We had some that they had a little cafe and they would actually bring you food to your RV spot. So that was
No
fun.
way.
Yeah, so fun. Some have golf courses. There is a beautiful KOA. And let's see, it's Monument Valley
Okay, in
Navajo
Arizona.
Tribal Park. So there is
Yeah.
a
The
KOA
Navajo.
there that's gorgeous. And they have guides on site because Monument Valley is on tribal land. If you go explore, you must have a guide. So you can even rent your guide. You can rent, four-wheelers, horses. So the KOAs offer a lot.
Well, that's, that's, I think that when you say it's family friendly, that's a really good thing to bring up because sometimes, a lot of folks that I know that are RVers, there's the split. It's like, this is the family, and that could be even multi-generational. And sometimes grandpa and grandma do not want to be stuck in bunking with the kids. So, like, you've got to kind of think. And some of them have cabins that maybe they'll drive there
Yes.
and have the cabins or, that kind of thing. But the other thing I knew from like traveling in Yuma, Arizona, we did a lot of stays in Yuma, which was RV Park City. But what I noticed was a lot of, and man, did they have entertainment at night? Like they were like their own village, like some of them,
Oh, absolutely.
and I mean like they had fairs, but I mean not, we're talking about entertainment that like proper, like good,
Oh,
like
yes.
yeah, I mean, yeah. It was pretty good. But what I saw was there was a lot of 55 plus RV parks. And that's something to think about for boomer travelers and those who just know we don't want kids screaming, Like I'm not quite 55 yet. I'm getting there, but like I want that.
Yeah,
No
it's
offense, families, just saying.
right. Well, and it's interesting. There was a report out this year that 50% of the people RVing are also working on the road. So
Ah.
it's a big change, but definitely a lot of 55 plus, especially in the Southwest. And I'm assuming in Florida as well, we'll see that next year.
Anywhere where
But
sun seekers, I say.
yes, exactly. And it's kind of funny. We're actually staying in a 55 plus place here in Arizona right now. These people party.
Yeah, that was what I was gonna say. I also know that there's like RV camps and it's kind of like there's cruises for music cruises, like blues cruises,
Yes.
prog rock cruises, you name it. And so I was wondering if RV parks do that kind of thing too. Like, all right, we're going to have a country festival and like here's all the top tier entertainment. Then people book their RV sites for that. I've seen that kind of thing happen. And Joshua Tree does that with their music festival. It's actually the
Yeah.
RV park that did it. Like they
Yeah.
put it on.
Yeah, there is something going on here every night. So yeah, it changes. The other thing that I really want to recommend for people is, again, whether you're doing this full time or just looking for a vacation, check on city parks, regional parks, county, state parks. Some of the best experiences we had this year were in those parks. And they are, number one, usually cheaper, and you usually have more room, because private parks, whether it's Good Sam, KOA, Thousand Trails, they need to maximize their space because they need as many people as they can get paying that nightly fee. So the spaces can be tight. We've had some of these parks that we've stayed in, beautiful space, just, so much room, and you feel like you're sort of on your own, but you have the amenities there. So those are really, really worth looking into.
I agree with you. The state parks, we do a lot of that. We used to just do, even our site is nationalparktraveling.com, where you'll see Susan's interview and her photos. But also, we started doing national park units and then saying all monuments. Then it was like, what are we thinking? I mean, even national forests have some great campgrounds, very cost effective. Recreation.gov, I think, is the website for all of that. But the state parks, so like Arkansas, Tennessee, I'm going to miss some, but those have like Arkansas has 52 state parks, so you can do one a week. And the state parks are free admission, but they get their revenue from campers and from people doing cabin rentals. So you know your money is actually going into keeping that park pristine. And whenever we go to parks, we go and we check out the campgrounds and photograph and try not to get the people in them, but go, hey, can we have that cup of coffee? Oh, that looks like a good glass of wine. I mean, charcuterie board. You'll see people decked out with charcuterie boards and wine and this amazing view, and you're
Absolutely.
like, okay, wait. This is like you're on the lake, and I see people, they even bring their own like little, there's like you can do a thing where you're not getting bitten by mosquitoes and things, like
Yeah.
a little.
Yeah, your little screen room. Yes.
Oh man, this is cool. But yeah, Louisiana does this too. Louisiana state parks have some amazing
Yeah.
amenities, but your cost, like you say, is much cost way more cost effective.
One of the most amazing state parks is Custer State Park in South Dakota.
Oh.
Beautiful. I've never seen so many buffalo in one place in my life.
Oh,
And
wow.
it's a day's, you're right next to Mount Rushmore. You're not too far from Devil's Tower. So everything is very close, and it is a beautiful, beautiful park. Gorgeous. Love that one. And then on the in the Pacific Northwest, Kitsap Memorial State Park in
Ooh.
Poulsbo, Washington, also has a lovely state park. It's on the water, so you can actually launch kayaks right in the water there.
I
And
like that. So, like
we're,
Custer's, when you're there, would you just park and stay when you know that you're kind of in a vicinity? Just
yes.
because it takes effort to get all set up, would you just say, okay, we're staying there and we'll do day trips out to Devil's Tower, things like that?
Absolutely, absolutely, which is what we did. And that's another great, great tip is, for example, Yellowstone and Teton, they are next to each other. Pick one and stay there, and don't move your RV. Drive from place to place. So that's a really good tip.
That is cool. Wow, a lot to cover. I mean, we could talk about parks and travel for all day long. I
All
love
day.
it. I know. What's your next park that you're going to, do you think?
Let's see, not any for a little while until we get to Oklahoma. We're going to be staying at
Oh,
a couple in Oklahoma. We have
Oklahoma's.
some county parks there. And then once we get to Maine, we'll really hit a lot of parks there as we come down the East Coast. So.
Recommend going to, and I'm going to get this wrong, but I'll send the link. Washita Mountains or Washita Mountains. I never pronounce it right, and I'm probably even spelling it wrong in my head. But they, you like bison? They have bison, they have longhorn cattle, they have, I mean, they've got water, they've got birds. It is up in the mountains in Oklahoma, and it is absolutely drop dead gorgeous. Highly recommend. We saw so many babies, little baby bison, and we're like, you
So
want to.
cute.
No, don't get out of the car and do stupid things, people.
No, don't
Don't
get
be
out of
one
the
of
car.
those, because then we that is, yeah, that is, don't. We talk about you on social media in not a nice way. You want to, I'm just saying, don't do that. But it is, I highly recommend if you get there in that region in Oklahoma. I'll Wichita, maybe it's Wichita. I don't know. But it begins with a W, and it's
I've heard it, but I don't know
beautiful.
how to pronounce it either.
Yeah, and it's near Chickasaw National Recreation
Yes.
Area as well, which has also got a lot of, I mean, that's kind of an urban park. It's different. So,
Yes.
yeah,
Yeah.
that's a good spot to be. So, thank you so much for joining us. How long have you been a member of IFTWA, the International Food Wine Travel Writers Association? I know you are a member of them and then another organization, American Travel Writers. So, it's really the Society of American Travel Writers. That's really important to be part of these organizations.
I think probably IFTWA for 10 years.
Oh,
It
wow.
lapsed a couple years in the middle and I didn't realize it. and I
Bad
was
girl.
still very active, but anyway, yeah, so altogether about 10 years, I think.
Cool.
But yeah, looking forward to seeing everyone in person at the conference this year.
Oh,
So
you're going to one in upstate New York. Yeah, you're going to be
absolutely. I'll be
beautiful. It's,
close.
oh, you're going to be in the Finger Lakes region with wine.
Yeah.
That's it. Are
Exactly.
you going to teach everybody about RV travel? I think. Honestly, that's what I was saying. We haven't done that much conversation about this, and I think it's something for travel writers to look into a little bit more. And I know they do, so I'm not saying, that they don't at all, because
Right.
I know a lot who do, but maybe we need more of it. I'm just saying.
I'm in the middle of proposing topics to speak on, so we'll see.
Cool. Hear, hear. Well, everyone, keep up with Susan. Go to her website, wanderwithwonder.com. And of course, for the International Food Wine Travel Writers Association, go to ifwtwa.org. And in the show notes, all the links are there, including a link for Susan's RV section on her website, so you can get all kinds of tips and destination stories. And also connect with her on Instagram and Facebook under Wander with Wonder. Thanks so much, Susan.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's Food, Wine, and Travel Show, featuring members of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. We encourage you to visit their website. We say IFTWA, which is ifwtwa.org. You can also follow us at bigblendradio.com. Happy travels, everyone!